passed on in Madinatul Munawwara, and Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates again, and he says that that was the saddest day, the most gloomiest day, the darkest day in Madinatul Munawwara, the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. So there's so many different lessons. If we have to start from the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, we will just take a few points and we will try and go through the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his final illness, his advices, the environment that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had created. So we see that Rasulullah sallallahu, it is mentioned that Abu Muwayhiba, the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was given to the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, says that in Safar on the 11th, in the 11th year of Hijri, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had called him one night. It was the middle of the night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him that let's go to Jannatul Baqi. Let's pray for its inmates. Let's make dua for the people of Baqi. So him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together, they went to Jannatul Baqi. They made dua. They beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the inmates of Baqi. And thereafter he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said something to me which gave me a shock, which took me back. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, and he says, O Abu Muwayhiba, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a choice. Either I can stay in this world till the end, till the end of this world, and then go into Jannah for eternity, or I taste from the cup of death and I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Muwayhiba, he's shocked. He doesn't know what to say. Because remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was their center. That was their focus. That was their entire day. That was their happiness. That was all they looked forward to. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving him a message like this. He says, I do not know what to reply. I've been taken aback. I'm sitting, I'm just thinking about it. And then I plead to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I say, O Rasul of Allah, please take the former. That is, stay in this world so that we may have your companionship. We may be in your suhbah. We cannot imagine our lives without you, O Rasul of Allah. So he says, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at me and he says that, I have chosen the latter. That is, I have chosen to meet my Rabb. I have chosen to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that it was the second last day of Safar in the 11th Hijri when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had attended a janaza salah of one of the companions. And upon his return, he came to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and he says that, O Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that I have a very bad headache, splitting headache. No, I've never had a headache. It's so bad, it's so terrible, this headache. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that at that time I also had a headache. So I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I myself am suffering from a headache. So she says that the conversation began going between husband and wife as a couple. Rasulullah of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, they are discussing that, you know, we have a headache, what will be the outcome of this? And Aisha radiallahu anha tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I have to pass away before you? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you will be so fortunate, I will do your kafan, I will perform your janaza salah, I will make dua for you. How fortunate you will be. So as a couple, they have their light moments. Aisha radiallahu anha tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no, after I have passed away, you will go to your other wives. But look at the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wives with his spouse. This is in every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that we draw lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every aspect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us how to live, how to act, how to treat people, how to deal with one another, whether it is our wives, whether it is our workers, whether it is our children, whoever it is, every aspect of our life. So So this was the conversation between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And from there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's illness just began progressing. He became sick. He got a fever, something which is a very high fever. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, when I went to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in extreme fever. And I discussed this with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says that I have the fever, the intensity is such that it is as if two people's fever, I am feeling it. I have the fever of two people. That's how bad an acute fever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was suffering from at this moment. So the illness was just progressing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the illness was just progressing. But even at this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forgo anyone's rights. Look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was 9 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise. The last revelation was revealed when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. That, be cautious of the day when you will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every action you have done, you will see its result. You will see the result of every action you have done, and no one will be oppressed. No one will be oppressed. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely just. There's so many different examples which are coming to mind at this moment, but we are discussing the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, as we said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forgo the rights of anyone also. Even at this stage, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fever was progressing. He became ill, he became weak, he could not walk. But still he would move from one wife's house to the next, because that was the right upon him. I imagine he's the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the greatest human to ever come on this earth. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he did not take advantage of this. He called for the presence of all his wives, and he discussed with them that I'm going through this illness. It is something which I cannot manage at this moment, and I will be more comfortable in getting cured, being nursed, and regaining my strength in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. But he seeks their permission. Look at the greatest human, but he is seeking permission from his wives. He's teaching us, it's a lesson for all of us, to look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So like this, permission was granted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the house of Zainab binti Jahsh, or Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha's house. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now going to the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he tries to get up, he tries to get some strength and walk to the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, but he doesn't have the strength as well. So he calls his cousins, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and he says that help me to go to the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now we can just imagine this scenario in Madinatul Munawwara, in Masjidul Nabawi, in front of all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, that they are uncertain of what is happening. Their entire life revolved around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their entire day revolved around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here they see the two cousins of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifting him up and carrying him to the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha while his feet are dragging on the floor. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are sitting in the masjid. They are watching this motionless. They are taken aback. This is the Nabi of Allah. They cannot understand. They cannot, you know, fathom what is going to happen to their lives. This is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is so ill. But nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken to the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where he is taken care of. How the news is spreading in Madinatul Munawwara that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not well. People are getting concerned, getting worried. They are coming to the masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 5 days before the demise, the saddest day on earth, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a Wednesday or Thursday when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. 5 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he asked for 7 skins of water. 7 skins of water to be brought from the different wells of Madinatul Munawwara, so that may be poured on him so he can regain his strength and address the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So these 7 skins of water were brought from the different wells, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in a bath or a basin which belonged to Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he had ordered that these skins of water be poured upon him, poured onto him one by one, until he said, hasbukum, hasbukum, that is enough. And like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to gain some strength, go into the masjid and address the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that when I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this stage, he was still had extreme fever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me to assist him to the minbar with the bandage tied around his head. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tries, he makes that effort, and he goes to the minbar of Masjid al-Nabawi. He leads them in the Dhuhr Salah, and after that he gathers all Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom, and he begins advising them. He begins with making dua for the martyrs of Uhud. He seeks forgiveness from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala for anything he may have done. He advises the Muhajireen how to treat the Ansar of Madinatul Munawwara. He gives advice to the Ansar how they should treat the Muhajireen, what they have went through and what Hijrat had meant to them. And like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had continued to advise them. And towards the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to them and he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given his servant an option, either to stay in this world till its end and then enter into Jannah, or either to meet his Rabb, his creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, Sahaba radiallahu anhu was still unaware who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, immediately he breaks down, he begins crying. He can not fathom what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. He understands that this is the message that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving to them. And he begins weeping. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He tries to calm him down. He gives him some solace. And he tells him that this, and he speaks to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu about the kindness of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, how he has supported him, his pillar of support throughout his journey. Such was the level of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's house were all around the masjid, around Masjid al-Nabawi. So the back door of their house entered into the masjid. The back door of their house would come directly into Masjid al-Nabawi. So at certain time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ordered that all the doors be closed. All the doors be closed except the door of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This shows the level of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he returns to the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Again, the illness is progressing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes weak. And at a certain point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then excuses himself from performing the salah, from leading the salah, leading the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in salah. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then takes over the performing of the salah in Masjid al-Nabawi. So Ummul Fadl narrates that it was a Maghrib salah, when Rasulullah, it was the last salah which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed. He led the Sahaba radiallahu anhu in Jama'ah, was a Maghrib salah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out. He led the Sahaba in Maghrib. He went back home, and at the time of Isha, he was unconscious. He woke up, he regained his consciousness, he tried to make wudu. He asked, have the Sahaba radiallahu anhu already read the Isha Salah, have they performed their Salah? It was said that they were waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tried to make wudu and he fell unconscious again. This happened 3 times. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu remained in the masjid waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and lead them in the Isha Salah. Finally, after the 3rd time, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then goes to the front and he leads the Sahaba radiallahu anhu in the Isha Salah as well. So imagine the atmosphere of Madinatul Munawwara. This is the scenario the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are facing. The greatest human on earth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their life, the entire life revolved around him. And now they cannot understand the circumstance. They are in uncertainty. They do not know the illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are losing hope. And at this time, it's the 12th of Rabiul Awal, on a Monday morning, Fajr Salah is being performed by Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fakashafna, he opens the curtain. Sahaba radiallahu anhu become so happy. They cannot express their joy that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing in front with a broad smile. His face is shining. They are now convinced that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has recovered from his illness. They are convinced that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning to perform the salah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicates to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to continue performing the salah, and the curtain drops, and this is the last time that Sahaba radiallahu anhu has seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after performing the salah, at that time still he does not know the situation. He goes to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he finds that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is recovered, he's being much better. So he seeks permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to the outskirts of Medina to visit his other wife who was in Awali. Ali radiallahu anhu comes. He also sees that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is recovered. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she comes. She is so happy that her father has now recovered, and she's sitting by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is at this time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispered something into her ears, and she began crying. Again he called her closer, and then he whispered something into her ears, and at this time she smiled. 6 months after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the age of 27 or 28, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away as well. So this is the scenario now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba think that he has recovered. His daughter is with him. His wives are with him. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is sitting there. And her brother Abdul Rahman enters the room. He has a miswak with him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving advices. He says that hold on to your salah. Have the best expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hold firm onto your salah. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu say that, you know, the sound of that gurgling of a dying person, in that too Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, hold firm onto salah, hold firm onto salah. Abdul Rahman, the brother of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, is there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a miswak in his pocket. He asks for the miswak. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha takes the miswak, she softens it, and she gives it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allahumma inni ala sakaratil maut. Allahumma inni ala sakaratil maut. And it's a conversation between him and Jibreel, or the angel of death. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu are just watching this entire conversation. Those around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they cannot understand the conversation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, fir rafiqil a'la, fir rafiqil a'la. And the lifeless hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falls onto the utensil next to him. Aisha radiallahu anha says that I was young at that time, so I shrieked. I did not know what to do. And amongst the first people who came was Umar radiallahu anhu. He came And when the message was conveyed to him, he could, it's not true. Whoever says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away, I will kill him. He could not understand. He could not fathom that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left them. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had then come. He comes into the room. He kisses the forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Says, wa nabiyya, wa khalila. And he kisses the forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After he goes out and he addresses the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that the life, those who are worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they know that now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left this temporary world. Now the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are getting the news of this. We can just imagine what the atmosphere, what is the, you know, the surroundings of Masjid al-Nabawi like. And then Fatima radiallahu anha says, that she says, Ya Abata, man rabbuhu ma adana. Ya Abata, ila Jibreel na'na. Ya Abata, ila jannatul firdaus ma'wa. So this was the final moments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We can just imagine what it might have been for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left his legacy behind for us to follow. We're in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the final moments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But what can we take from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What was the bequest, what was the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to us? That even in the last moments, if we just bring this one advice into our lives today, that we say that we, just one point we benefited from the entire Jummah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam bequested and he made it a wasiyah for us to hold firm onto our salah even at the time of his death. That the salah is the head of a believer. Salah is the head of a believer. Without salah, a believer is nothing. So let us take this into our lives. There's so many lessons, there's so many different advices we can give from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we walk away with this one lesson, with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our heart, and with the bequest that we will hold firm onto our salah from today. We will read our salah with jama'ah as much as we can. We will read our salah in the masjid. If we are just reading our fard salah, let us try and read the sunnah as well. Let us try and build it. Let us try from just the fard, we read the sunnah. And from the sunnah, we read the nafil. We know in our businesses. We know in our workplace. In our houses, we always want to progress. Whether it is with our children, whether it is with our cars. Whatever it is, we're always looking for growth. We're looking for how we can progress. What is the next level we can achieve? So today, let us introspect into our lives. Myself first, this is a message for myself, that I am performing my salah. How can I perfect that salah? I take it one step up, I perfect that salah. I make it khushu with khudur in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I take the next step where I bring the sunnah in my life, I bring the nawafil in my life, and I hold firm onto the bequest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.